kind, loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name. We come before thee, Father, to give thee thanks for this day, for the opportunity that we each have to gather as thy children and to listen and to study thy word. We give thee thanks, Father, for this opportunity we have to gather as thy children. We pray that thou bless this meeting, guide and direct the thoughts of each and every one here. We ask thee to give a special blessing unto Brother Richard as he is to lead our thoughts. We also ask, Father, that thou be with all thy children throughout the world, guide and direct them as thou knowest their needs. We pray, Father, these things, and lead this meeting in thy care and keeping, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Brethren, we're looking forward to Brother Richard Doctor's discourse. The title, as you can see, is Thanksgiving. May the Lord bless.
Thank you, Brother Bob. It is a blessing to be with you, brethren, and I want to bring you love from your brethren in Chicago. They voted last Sunday to extend their warm Christian love to you. And this historically has been a Thanksgiving convention, so what could be a nicer way for us to close our first evening together and have some thoughts that we can meditate and reflect on? But when's on Thanksgiving? Oh, brethren, we can just use that so much in our lives. And we read this in Colossians 2:7 that we are rooted and built up in him. Of course, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, and we are to abound therein with thanksgiving. That's what the plan of God should do in our hearts. How can we keep from singing? We have this blessed knowledge, not only of what our Savior has done in our lives now, but the knowledge that the Lord's ways, the Lord's will is going to cover this earth as the waters cover the very sea. And because of that, we should be rooted and built up and abound in our faith with thanksgiving. So let's go through some consideration of practical ways of making that more a part of our Christian experience, starting with the beginning of the day, taking it into our prayer life, and taking it with us as we close our eyes at night and sleep. David said in Psalm 69 that I'll praise the name of God with a song. Well, we do that when we're collectively together in our worship, but I think many of us should carry those hymns in our heart, and I think many of us sing those hymns at times during the day or enjoy hearing those hymns. I know I do. It's a tremendous blessing and encouragement to me. And magnify him with thanksgiving. And our thanksgiving falls into two categories. And on the one hand, we really need those quiet, reflective times of mindful prayer. And no media. Turning it all off, just quietly thinking about the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father and the blessings that we have with our brethren. That's something that should bring thanksgiving. But the other is actually where we do what David did and we raise our voices in praise. And I don't think that we can praise the Lord enough in the song. It lifts my heart up, and especially this time of year, we're coming close to the Christmas season. Of course, it's the wrong date, but that's not the point. The point is that I love hearing Handel's Messiah when it's presented. This is the time of the year I look forward to those performances and the other performances that are showing everybody coming together with praise, even though they don't have an insight that accurately reflects our Heavenly Father's thinking. But the question is, what can we do to cultivate this mindfulness and this thanksgiving in our Christian lives? Because that's really the object. If we are to be rooted and built up in the faith, this is something that's as important in many ways as making sure that we have a firm grasp on the principles of truth and the doctrines that we'll be discussing during the other discourses at this convention. Well, one way we can improve this reflection, this mindfulness, is by showing our thanksgiving, gratefulness. This can be cultivated in our lives as we go day by day and just think about the blessings that we have received. And it might seem, oh, well, that's easy for you to say, Brother Richard, because you're coming together here in convention. This is in peace. We've all come. Maybe there's some trepidation in our lives, difficulties, job problems, that sort of nonsense. But we don't have things that would take away the thought of reflecting and being thankful in our lives. And that's why I wanted to focus on an example of a troubled prophet. And I think many of you know who I'm going to be referring to. That has to be Jonah. And before we get into looking at Jonah and his prayer of thanksgiving, I want to suggest that we're going to try to break this down, if you will, into 4 points that you can look at. We need to acknowledge our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We need to tell Him we recognize that He has done everything through Christ Jesus to provide for the reconciliation. But we need to confess what we ourselves have in the way of lack, where we've done that which is wrong, where we've not honored His name, and we want to hold up and honor His name at all times, but there's an opportunity that we could miss. And then the important thing for thankfulness is to take the focus off of us. We want to have that vision of the holy. We've got to have that. We really need to make that part of our lives. And then beyond that, then we're at a point where we can have thanksgiving, and thanksgiving that's not only mindful, but that which bursts into song. So let's look at Jonah. Now, this is a suggestion from one brother that this is one of the whales that's about a meter wide mouth that could have actually swallowed up Jonah and kept air in there. Possibility. We know that the Lord prepared this great beast, this great aquatic beast, especially for Jonah. And the interesting suggestion from a very early reprint that this prayer holds as a type of the history of the nation of Israel since Jesus left their house desolate. I find that interesting to reflect on. But it's also a type of the time our Lord spent in not only in death, but in the powers of darkness. And we read about that in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, Jonah was surely in the midst of literal storms of life. Many of us have storms that are equal in darkness to this storm that we've pictured here. But he was fleeing God because he was upset about what the Lord was going to do in his mercy. And we don't really need to review that. I know that's an account well known by all of us. And when he went into the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of Sheol, out of the belly of hell. I'm quoting the King James over here. And the Lord heard his voice. For thou, that is, the Lord, had cast Jonah into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed him about, and the billows and the waves passed over Jonah. The storms of life were real for Jonah, as well as in his, that storm on the sea was just reflecting really what was in his heart. I think probably the Lord arranged it that way. But then, you know, we talked about this issue of thinking about the holy, and we're going to go back and review this. I said, I'm cast out of your sight. It's in the belly of the fish. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped around my head. And, you know, that was actually a blessing in the trial, because those weeds wrapped around his head no doubt were protecting him from being attacked by the acid and stomach digestive juices. But I think those weeds were actually there as a blessing, but they certainly were not a blessing to him at the time. He went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and into your holy temple. Another reference to the joy he had at worship in the temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I'll pay that which I have vowed, for salvation is of the Lord. Well, let's just take a look back at the list we'd introduced earlier on the 4 points linked to thanksgiving, and this first one of acknowledgement. Thanksgiving should be preceded by acknowledging our Heavenly Father and preparing our hearts. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God, and the Lord heard him. He constantly is recognizing that while he made this futile attempt to flee from the presence of the Lord, that's just humanly impossible. And so he, at this point, does indeed acknowledge who the Creator is and his relationship to him. And thanksgiving really needs to be preceded by confessing our sins to God. In the beautiful talk we just had by Brother Tom, he spoke about the issue of wanting to offer sacrifice and yet not being reconciled. And this is a principle. We need to confess our sins to God, to tell him very honestly what we see lacking in our relationship, and be reconciled through Christ. So Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly and said, he cried by reason of his affliction. And he really didn't have any idea how this experience was going to end. I don't know that he was certain that it was going to be God's will that he should be vomited out by the fish onto the beach. I think he thought this was really going to be the end. And it was a long enough, and it was a long enough experience to certainly provide discouragement to anyone. But the point is that especially in the midst of trials, what do we want to do? We want to keep our vision on the holy. And for Jonah, it was the holy temple that he knew brought the peace of heart to him. And that should be our focus. And yet, we have a temple made far better than the one that Solomon built, which is in this picture. So Jonah says, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. His earnest prayer was that the Lord would restore him and give him this privilege. And thanksgiving should flow from our hearts, and it should flow into our voice. How can I keep from singing? With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay that which I have vowed, for salvation is of the Lord. And we don't have any part in that book that records Jonah going to the temple and paying his vows, but he must have before his call to continue on the journey to Nineveh. What was his salvation song? Well, salvation is of the Lord. That's what's in his prayer. So this is salvation in the midst of trials, and as the psalmist says, offer unto the Lord thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You know, as part of our consecration, we really need to keep this element of thanksgiving right there with everything else to keep us in the proper heart attitude. It's not always easy. I know it's not always easy for me because I find a lot of things wrong. You know, I can look, and I think a lot of us have a challenge with being too critical, and I'm certainly one that struggles against that, brethren. And I need to remember that it's robbing me of this joy of giving the Lord thanksgiving and remembering that it is in his very, very capable hands, and it will be taken care of in his time and in his way. And I and my criticalness is not doing anything except creating problems for both me and maybe sometimes problems for the brethren, sometimes for, you know, your spouse. It depends. We want to remember that thanksgiving is part of paying our vows. And in Psalm 107, sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. How are we presenting the beautiful plan? Are we presenting it as, we had the debacle with Harold Camping, I think that name's probably familiar here, where he was predicting a very day in which he thought that there would be a damnation and destruction of the world by the Lord. Of course, that wasn't correct. We knew it wasn't correct, but it's the wrong attitude. Now, none of us were believing what Harold Camping said, but, you know, we could also find ourselves maybe not declaring the Lord's work with rejoicing, and what we do have to rejoice in, what we do have to rejoice in and give thanks. Let's just make sure as we offer this sacrifice of thanksgiving and we take all of what we have learned, the good things in the Lord's word, that we make sure we're doing that with a joy and thankful attitude. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, that is not the easiest text for me, because I like to make sure I've got everything planned out, that I've thought about the contingencies and what can go wrong. And, you know, things go wrong a lot. You know, you start off with one plan and it doesn't necessarily end up that way. That is not, the purpose here of the Philippians text is that the Lord is looking at our desire to serve him. It doesn't mean to just be flippant and that sort of thing, but we have turned over this problem to the Lord, and he's able to handle it. We need to just trust him where we can't always see what the next step is going to be. We've placed it in the Lord's hands. It doesn't mean that we want to be irresponsible, but we need to recognize that it won't necessarily work out exactly according to our plan, but it will work out as our Lord plans. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, and sing praises upon the harp unto our God. Well, we don't have harp players amongst the brethren. We have a couple guitarists, I know, which is a descendant of the harp, and the piano has a harp in it, a stretch section there. It's a beautiful thing when you hear harp playing, but that's not done frequently. But the point is that we want to also make sure that this thanksgiving gets expressed in terms of our praise and hymn singing even with accompaniment. When we woke up this morning, we probably thought about the morning, what the weather was going to be like. And we need to thank God that we have eyes where we can see, and yet millions of our human brothers and sisters are blind literally. But that's not the blindness that concerns us. It's the blindness that the billions have in their spiritual eyesight. When we wake up, I think it's a blessing to try to make our earliest thought, as the resolve says, what can I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? We want to begin our day with thanksgiving and thankfulness for the blessings that we've received, just by knowing that the morning light is there and being able to, maybe we can't enjoy a beautiful scene like this, but we can enjoy just the blessing of life and sight. And so when we open our eyes with this thought, the chances are we'll be more grateful for the gift of sight. But we also want to be alert to those who don't have these gifts of insight that we have. Do you think that somebody out there without a knowledge of the truth has a better plan for mankind that is bringing peace to their heart? They don't. We had an election that finished this week, and I think whatever party you supported, you're probably really glad that the talk is ended. It just gets to be too much. And how thankful we are that this is dwelling in our hearts, where the others just won't be able to do anything to change the course that the world is set on, because that won't bring peace. The only thing that's going to bring peace is the kingdom of Christ. And oh, that we could open the eyes of the world to the fulfillment of their unspoken hopes. They want things to be different. And Christ is come. Now that's a true cause of thanksgiving. So, a suggestion, practical suggestion. Before turning off the lights in the evening, jot down, or to be modern, text, Twitter, one thing for which we've never before given grateful thanksgiving. Think of one thing. One of the Lord's dear ones has done this for years and testifies that the supply of things that we can be thankful for is inexhaustible. It's inexhaustible, brethren. This gratefulness brings joy to life, for once we start taking for granted, there's no end to the surprises and the delight that we can find. I think some of you know that I'm a dog owner, two dogs. They keep each other company, very different characters. But we go out for a walk in the morning, which is important to me because I need to walk. And they just take delight in everything. It's like this is the same path that we walk on all the time, but no, there's always something new and exciting. And I'm not saying see things through a dog's eyes. I'm just saying that you can recognize just in the ordinary, the things that there are to bring joy and that we have to be grateful for if we just stop taking things for granted. I think some of you know these brethren. These are three of my favorite brethren here in this picture, which I call the meeting of three world cultures. That's in Accra, Ghana, back in 2010. And I think a number of you know Brother Bob Goodman. Probably all of you know Brother Bob Goodman from Orlando, Florida. The brother behind him there is Brother Cursino Miranda from India. And then the brother shaking hands with Brother Bob is Brother Eliezer Jujuko from Uganda. And, you know, as we just come together, I just marvel at this. Here are three totally different poles of existence, life experiences, cultures that are completely different. And what brings us together? What's the joy? What's the thanksgiving? It's our love for the Heavenly Father. It's our love for what He has done through Jesus Christ. It's our love for the plan. It's our love that when I look at you, brethren, I see Christ in you. I see the hope of glory. I see the sacrifice that has been the focus and is the joy. And a grateful attitude just tries to find more ways to spread the joy and to share the good news that we have. In the final analysis, this opportunity is a gift, every moment that we have, and we can make use of if we just are thankful and trying to reach out and be creative and grateful for things. The opportunity to see, to hear, even to smell, to touch, and taste with pleasure, everything's a gift. So we'll toss something out there that's, I don't know, this is something in my head anyway. In our Lord's post-resurrection appearances, you have the meeting with the apostles on the beach in Galilee, where the Lord speaks to Peter and strengthens him. But that's not the part that I focus on. It's when they came to the beach. You remember that the Lord had a morning barbecue ready of fish for everybody? Okay, after they'd had so many problems during the night. You know, I think that our Lord and his apostles, when he was in the ministry and instructing them early on, I think they had barbecues with fish on the beach many times. That would be what would be logical for them to eat, living right by the Sea of Galilee there. And I think this was just something that was a joy for them and a happy memory. And I think our Lord just wanted to remind them of some of the very blessed times they'd had. Because when we look back at our experiences in life, you know, I know many of my most precious experiences are those that I've had with the brethren, sharing with them in fellowship, sharing the breaking. I mean, however wonderful the discourses are, and those feed the new creature and help us, I could remember a lot of conversations I've had over lunches and dinners at conventions a lot better than I can remember discourses and remember those happy times. And it's a cause of thanksgiving, at least for me. So as we consider what God has done, there's no more joyful bond than the one that gratefulness celebrates. And this is a bond between our Heavenly Father, who is the giver, and between us. You think the opposite is that we're the takers, but we're the ones who are the thanksgivers. We thank God for that, and he is blessed that we acknowledge him in that way. As St. Paul assures his beloved brethren in Corinth, thanksgiving leads to liberality, to sharing of God's gifts, concluding with the thought, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Closing with a reflection on the psalmist again. Oh, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wonderful works, thy wondrous works. And what more wondrous work can we raise our voices in thanksgiving but that simple three-word phrase, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. And may the Lord add his blessings.
Thank you, Brother Richard. Very nice way to close out our evening together. Brother Richard's choice for hymn to close is 263, Simply Trusting. And then tomorrow we start our day with a devotional service at 9:30 in the morning in preparation for Brother Peter Mora's discourse. So please be here on time if you could. And we'll close our evening together, first day of our convention, with 263, we'll stand on the last verse, and Brother Richard will dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Thank you.
Our dear, loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at the close of this day, so thankful, Lord, thankful for the blessing of being able to come together with those brethren of like precious faith, thankful for the gift of life, thankful for the opportunity to offer our vows unto Thee, thankful for the many, many ways we can't even count in which You have blessed us. Let us rest tonight that we might be refreshed to serve Thee again tomorrow. And we pray Your continuance and Your safe watch care over us, asking it through the name and merit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.